God revolve in your mind. You're going to have to pull up in your Christian life, put it in park, and stay there. And think on those things. Take your Bible now and go, if you would, to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. And verse 14. You'll recognize it when you get there. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. How many of you have ever quoted that verse before? How many of you have ever said that verse? And boy, it's fun because we'll say those types of things. We'll even sing those types of verses. But are we really practicing them? Are we actually putting to practice what we're singing and what we're saying? But the psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let those things that are revolving in my mind, let the things that my mind are parked on be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Let me read you a New Testament passage, some encouragement that Paul gave Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Find your place there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse number 11. 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 11. Paul says, these things command and teach. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Now I want you to listen to what he said. He said, be an example in word, be an example in conversation. In other words, your lifestyle, your testimony, your outward appearance. He said, be an example in charity, in giving, in love, in caring, in comfort, in spirit. How about our attitude? Be an example with our attitude. He said, be an example in faith. Be an example in purity. He says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Boy, I'm telling you, he told Timothy, he gave him a boatload of stuff, didn't he? Now, wait a minute, he's not done. He says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Now, I want you to look in verse 15. What does he tell him to do? He says, meditate. In other words, let these things revolve in your mind continually. Pull up, park, stay there. He says, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. What's the them he's talking about? The things that he said to be an example of. He's talking about the word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, purity, reading, exhortation, doctrine. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thy profiting may appear to all. Isn't it kind of the same thing that Joshua said? That if we'll meditate in these things day and night, that not only will we prosper, we will have good success. Now, everybody's for that, right? Prosperity, success, yes, I'm for it in the Christian life. Right? Now, what are we going to do that? It's an area of our Christian life we're neglecting way, way too much. Father, bless our time, and thank you for the privilege that we have to be in church. We do look forward to what you're going to do in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, you can be seated. You know, a lot of times when we think of the word meditation, the first thing we get in picture, we get a guru, right? We get this guy, guru, and he's burning incense, and we think that that's meditation. That's kind of the first picture, unfortunately, that some people get about this thing of meditation. Yet, you know, it is a Bible practice. You realize it is a Bible thing that we're supposed to be participating in? Hey, folks, let me tell you something. The Christian life, it's not a buffet line where we get to go through and choose to do what we want and what we don't want. God said it's the whole thing is all for our benefit. He said, so we need to be practicing the full realm of the Christian life. May I say to you that one of the things that was the power source behind the early church, the Bible says they were in one accord, in one place. You know what I think there just prior to Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, you know what I think they were? They were all, everything was revolving in mind. Everybody was on the same page. Everybody had pulled up in mind because Jesus told them to go and wait for the promise. And there gathered that 120 in that upper room. They were all in one accord, in one place, meditating on the same thing. Doing what the Lord told them to do. They stayed put. Boy, did something great happen? Oh, yeah. Because they were thinking on the right thing. You see, that word meditation, to us tonight, folks, it means more than just thinking. It's a very descriptive type of thinking. You see, it's more than just something crossing your mind. You know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that cross my mind that I don't necessarily pull over and stop and park on. You see, there's a lot of the Christian life that crosses my mind. But meditation is something more than just something crossing your mind. You see, meditation is parking your mind. Picture this. Picture pulling up to the store. You got a parking place, and you pull up there, and you find that parking place, which we all circle 15 or 20 times trying to get one close. And you know, we pray, Lord God, give me a parking place up close. Give me a parking place up close. So you finally find that parking place. You pull up there. Let me ask you this. When you pull up there, do you leave the car running? Do you just leave it and drive and get out and say, well, boy, I sure hope it stays there. Hey, I got news for you. It's not going to stay there. You know what you've got to do? If your vehicle is going to stay in the parking place, you're going to have to put it in park. It's got to stay there. All right, it's got to stay where you pulled it. That's what meditation is. God says there's some things I want you to meditate on. I want you to pull up and park it right there. And then I want them to begin to revolve in your mind. But you know what meditation demands? Meditation demands discipline. Yeah, you got to be disciplined to do this. You see, undisciplined believers will not practice biblical meditation. You see, undisciplined people get their minds on other things instead of the things of God. You see, meditation demands discipline. Meditation demands character. It demands Christian character to be able to do this. It demands us understanding what God wants from us and get with the program. It demands discipline. It demands character. It demands submission and separation. It demands submission and separation. Finding out, what does God desire? But you know, meditation is something that you do on purpose. It doesn't just happen by itself. You have to plan it. You have to do it on purpose. You know, so much of the Scripture we read and we just take for granted, such as Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, where the Scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind was that? Was it a humble mind? Was it a serving mind? Yeah, was it a charitable mind? Was it a giving mind? Yeah, all this is true. But how are we commanded to have that? Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus? I'll tell you how. You meditate on it. You think about it. You find out what Jesus meditated on. And by the way, do you know he had times of meditation also? Many times he would separate himself from his disciples and go alone. If you don't believe that, go find some deep meditation in the Garden of Gethsemane just before the cross. He sweat as it were great drops of blood. You know what he was doing? He was thinking. He was meditating on what was about to happen. You see, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, the Bible says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And how many times have we heard Philippians 4, verse number 8, quoted and read multiple times? It says this, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what are we to do? Think on these things. Then we read all of this, and we thought, boy, isn't that good? Glory to God. That's good stuff, isn't it? Problem is, we don't do it. You know why? Because it takes meditation to do that. It takes pulling up and parking on just. is pulling up and parking on purity and a good and having a life of good report and honesty. You see, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 7 says, "For as he, a man, thinketh in his heart, so is he." You see, we have become a church. And I'm talking about church in general, all over. We have become what we meditate on. That's what we've become. You hear me? We have become what we allow to revolve in our mind. We become what we pull up and park on. That's what we become. We become that as an individual, and eventually we become that as a church. You see, because as a man thinketh in his heart, that's what he is. So is he. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 2, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Can I paraphrase and say this? What you meditate on, what you allow to revolve in your mind, what you allow your mind to pull up and park on, that's where your heart's going to be. So how do we know? Because Jesus said, "By their fruits, you shall know them." Hey, you know where their mind's pulled up and parked on? Hey, you know all of these things. Why? Because they cannot help but be what they are. Jesus said also in Matthew chapter 12, verse 32 or 34, he says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." People speak what's on their mind. They speak what they've been meditating on. They speak what they've been thinking on. You see, no wonder we're in such pitiful shape. No wonder the world views us as a bunch of hypocrites and frauds. No wonder they don't take the Bible or church or God seriously. You know why? Because we don't take it seriously. We don't have our mind on the right things. We've got them on everything else except the things of God. You see, we're not talking about God, or we're not talking about salvation to our neighbors or to our coworkers. You know why? Because we don't meditate on those things. Neighbor will come out, we'll sit there and chit-chat across the fence about everything except the Lord. And you know what? They know you're a believer. They sit there and watch you go to church all the time. And we don't say a word. You know why? They know what you're meditating on. They know that if you were meditating, if you were thinking, if you'd pulled up and your mind had been parked on the things of God and the things of God are revolving in your mind, you know what? They'd say, "You know, surely at some point they're going to say something to me. Surely." You know that most of the unsaved world expects you to say something. They expect you to. I mean, man, if I'm going to profess it, then they ought to expect me to say something about it. You see, unfortunately, many times our conversations are filled with the content of what we've been meditating on. You know, it's not very often I go out in the foyer and hear people talking about the goodness of God or the blood of Christ or the wonders of salvation or how good God is. You know what? Many times we'll go out and we'll hear people talk about everything else except the things of God. Even our actions reflect what we've been meditating on. Our heart can only feel what we've been meditating on. Prisons are filled with men and women paying the price because of what they meditated on. You can't go to any prison without sitting down and talking with these folks. And many of them will tell you, hey, you know what? They didn't do most of the crimes they committed, they didn't do them off the cuff. Many of them meditated on it before they committed the crime. It was on their mind. You see, they had meditated. They had pulled up and parked. They had allowed it to revolve in their mind. And now they're paying the consequences for that. Now, I'm here to tell you today, dear folks, we've got to get back to meditating on what God says we need to meditate on. Our minds are so preoccupied with everything else. We get so preoccupied with the past, we can't even figure out what's going on today. Because, you know what, we haven't forgiven someone or someone did something to hurt our feelings, and all of a sudden, you know what, our mind every day of our life is always going backwards, looking at what's going on in the past. That's what we're thinking about. No wonder we're grouch gut sometimes. Amen?
Yeah, we think about things. Problem is, we think about the wrong things. We, you know what? Isn't it amazing how we have the tendency to gravitate and meditate toward the things that what's happened in our life, particularly the bad things that have happened, rather than looking and meditating on the good things? But you know what? Meditation requires discipline, doesn't it? It requires character. It requires being able to bring that old flesh and say, you know what? We're not thinking about, because old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I'm putting all of that in the past. That's already under the blood of Christ. I've forgiven them. And I'm not going back there to meditate on that. I'm not going to think about that. And you can always tell what somebody's thinking about because you can always look at the expression on their face. Like some of you right now, your expression on your face is like this. And I know what you're thinking about. You're thinking about Peter Pan, Alice in Wonderland. Some of you right now are chasing the rabbit. You say, Brother Todd, how do we get this done? Well, let me give you some suggestions here, and then I'm going to give you some things that we should be meditating on. One of the things that just prior to Brother and Mrs. Abshendik getting here, one of the things I did for the teenagers is I thought, you know what? And let me tell you what provoked this. What provoked this, I was sitting with our teens and end teens or at 620 one of those times, and I was asking questions about the Bible and talking about that. And after that time was over, I had one of the kids come and ask me a question about something. I said, yeah. And they simply made the comment. They said, is that in the Bible? Well, if I told you what the subject was, it was a very simple thing that most of you would know was in the Bible. But they didn't know that was in the Bible. And I began to think about it. If there's one that may not know what's in the Bible, I wonder if there's others that don't know what's in the Bible. So what I did is I put together a little Bible story locator card like this. It's not original. I got this idea years ago from another church that did this in our teen department. But it's got about 240-something places in Scripture, just common Bible story and locations. And you know what? It's easy to find. You say, what did you do that? Because I want them to meditate. I want them to know where to find the common passages in Scripture. You know, some of us tonight, if I ask the question, where do you find the resurrection of Lazarus? What book? What chapter? Most of us couldn't find it if our life depended on it. If I ask other questions about the Bible and stuff, why? And you say, why wouldn't people be able to find it? These are church people. Because we don't meditate on it. We don't pull up and park on the Word of God enough to even know where they're found in Scripture. One of the things that I do also, and I've got several of my family members have this, is I've got the King James Bible. I guess this is called digital. But you know what? All I got to do is just pop this rascal on, put these earplugs in, and just let the Bible roll. You say, how much is that? Well, if you'll see me, it don't cost too much. But if you just go buy it off the shelf and stuff, it's going to cost you quite a bit. Now, all I'm saying to you is we do what we want to do. You say, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to meditate. Okay? You say, what are we trying to do with our teenagers? We're trying to teach them to meditate. You say, there are all kinds of tools that we can get for ourselves to help us get the thing accomplished. To get it going. You say, Brother Todd, do you put those earplugs in yours and fall asleep listening to the Bible? Yeah, all the time. You say, well, you can't even remember what they're saying. I know, I just want it going in my head, though. Hey, can't hurt, can it? Can't hurt if it's just going in my head. But you know what? Unfortunately, too many times, we get our little iPod that we've got probably some things that shouldn't be on there. And sometimes, teenagers, we put things on our little iPods that mom and dad don't know are on there. What are you doing? Oh, I'm listening to the Bible. I'm gonna get my end team planner done. Right? And so what happens is they're listening, they've got their earplugs in and they're listening, and it's not the Bible at all. Folks, what I'm saying is no wonder we're in the shape we're in. No wonder our mind has been pickled. And unfortunately, not by the Word of God. It's been pickled by the world. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to just throw everything into three little categories. Is that all right with you all tonight? About what we ought to be meditating on. Thinking on these things. All right, take your Bible, go to Psalm chapter 63. Now, I told you you're going to need your Bible. We got to hurry. We got a party for the graphs here. We got to get with the program. We don't want to miss that party. Psalm 63, you're there? All right, Psalm 63. You say, what are we going to meditate on tonight? Well, the Scripture says one of the first things we ought to meditate on is the wonders of God. The wonders of God. Look at Psalm 63, if you would, please. Psalm 63. And begin reading, if you would, please, in verse number 1. Oh God, thou art my God. You know what? If I just stop right there, that'd be enough, wouldn't it? Hey, he didn't just your God, he's my God. He said, no, he's my God. No, he's my God. You see, you know God can be your God and my God? That's how personal he is. And yet the psalmist says, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Hey, look at there. Do you know that's in the Bible? Do you know when someone does something good and sings, you know it's okay for us to say, amen. Okay, well, let me move on. My soul shall be satisfied. We've lost our mind, folks. I'm telling you, we have. Because we think, oh my goodness, if I raise my hand and shout amen, somebody might think I'm a fanatic. And what's wrong with that? Last night, I tuned in. I was home for a little while. Took some people out to some of our bus folks out to eat for a campaign that they'd won. I got home and flipped on and caught a little bit of a football game last night. These people are crazy. I mean, we're talking about grown men that had colored their hair blue and painted their face. And the thing about it is they probably go home and wash it all off and go to work the next day. They're probably a lawyer in town or a doctor. But let me tell you something. When they walk into these stadiums, they lose their mind. They're called fanatics, fans. Now, all I'm saying to you is, there's nothing wrong with that. The psalmist says, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness in my mouth, shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed. Listen to me now. And meditate on thee. Not on what happened today. He says, when I get home, he says, I meditate on thee in the night watches because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. So here we have one of the things we need to be meditating on. Now, I know this is deep, but you know what? We're supposed to be meditating on God. Hey, we ought to pull up and park right there. And let what be occupying our mind should be the wonders of God. You say, oh, what's wonderful about God? Well, first of all, he's personal. He's infinite. He's omnipotent. Hey, he is full of glory. He's magnificent. Listen, we don't have time to go read this. You can go read this in Revelation 1 and Revelation chapter 4. He's lovely. He's my helper. Hey, anybody like that? Anybody need any assistance? Or can you do this by yourself? Huh? I don't think so. So God said, hey, how about meditate on me? How about think about me? How about meditate on how wonderful I am and how omnipotent I am and how great I am and what a great helper that I am. And we could go on and on and on. You know what? We just need to meditate on the wonder of God. He said, boy, it's just hard for me. Have you got anything that can help me in meditating on God? Well, let's see what the psalmist said. Look at Psalm 104. If you need some help, here's some help right there that'll help you right here to meditate, get your mind focused, pull up and park, revolving in your mind. Psalm 104, verse 33. Psalm 104, verse 33. The psalmist said, I will sing unto the Lord. How long? As long as I live. Kind of sounds to me like we're all supposed to be doing that. He said, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Wait a minute, I want you to look at what he connects here with this. He said, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Did you see that he connected meditation and music? Meditation and singing? You see, the thing about it is, when the choir is singing, most of you were locked in, were you not? When the choir was singing and the choir members were singing, most of us were locked into what they were singing. When the ladies were up here singing, you know what? Most of us were locked in, were we not? You know what we were doing? We were meditating. That's a good song. Man, we were meditating. We were locked in. It was revolving in our mind. We had pulled up and parked on that song. That's the reason when they got finished singing, everybody went, amen. You know why? Because you were locked in. You were meditating on what they were singing. God says, that's one of the ways that leads, an avenue that leads you to me. Oh, by the way, we don't have time to go there, but you can go check me out in your spare time. Do you know that's one of the evidences, according to Ephesians chapter 5, of a spirit-filled believer? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's one of the avenues to a relationship with God. Hey, David used a harp as a source of meditation. Heaven is filled with songs and music to aid meditation. And yet, sometimes you think, oh, them old hymns. All them old songs. Yeah, but you know what? It's those songs that talk about the goodness of God, the cross of Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, that we sang about heaven. We sang about the wonders of God. You know what? It's an avenue. It's an avenue of meditation for us. That's the reason on your little iPod, you need to have the right kind of music on there. How many times have you heard Dr. Smith say you live on the level of the music that you listen to? May I say also you worship on that same level? Yeah. See, that's the reason so many, when they come here, oh, what are y'all, traditional? Yeah. Are y'all just some kind of conservative? Well, let's see, I think Jesus, yeah. 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 Hey, I'm just telling you, folks, I'm just trying to line up with Jesus. And you know what he said you need to meditate on? He said, meditate on him. Meditate on him. Now the devil's going to try to get you to meditate on him. And you know what? If you get your mind sidetracked and you get meditating on him and you get your mind parked on him, he's going to tell you how a sorry rascal you are. And how you don't even deserve to be in church. You shouldn't be singing in a choir. You shouldn't be singing special music. Matter of fact, you should just go away. But people get their mind, they get hooked up on that. Why? Because they stopped thinking about God. They've pulled away and they've stopped allowing God to revolve in their mind. All right, let's look at a second thing. Turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter 77. Look at Psalm 77. Okay, I said, first of all, we need to meditate on the wonders of God. The second thing I think we find in Scripture that we're to be meditating on are the works of God. Psalm 77, you find your place there? Psalm 77, look in verse number 4. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. He said, the psalmist says, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. He said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Scoot over, if you would, to verse 10. The psalmist says, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders. What? Did you see that? He connected both of them right there. He says we're supposed to be remembering and meditating on not just the wonders, but the works of God. He says, remember the wonders of old. And this is what he says. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You reckon old David kind of got the idea of what it meant to meditate? Now, folks, let me tell you something. David did a lot of things wrong, didn't he? David went a lot of wrong directions, said a lot of wrong things, disobeyed God. Listen, kind of like us, right? But let me tell you something he had a grip on, my friend. He had a grip on what the word meditation means. He had an understanding of what it meant that, you know what, although I've strayed from God, he understood what it meant to go back and get his mind back on the Lord and the works of the Lord and the works of God. Now, if we're going to meditate on the works of God, you know, so many times we hear the little WWJD, what would Jesus do? How about let's, instead of thinking about what would Jesus do, how about let's meditate on what did Jesus do? And meditate on the works of God. You say, what works should we be meditating on? How about just meditate on the miracle of salvation? How about that? You ever thought about that? It's incredible. But it's only incredible to us. It's not incredible to God. It's only seeming impossible to us, but it's not impossible with God. I mean, just think about it, folks. God incarnate in human flesh. Hey, try to get your little finite mind like mine and wrap it around that for a while. God with us? Incarnate in human flesh? Born of a virgin? Died on a cross, resurrected from the dead, then hopped a cloud and ascended back to heaven? Man, my mind has a hard time wrapping around that. So you know what? I have to let my spirit wrap around it. I have to get a hold of it. I meditate on that miracle, the miracle of salvation. You know why God did it? All for the love of man. So how do we know God loves us? Well, I think I read somewhere in the Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's somewhere in the Bible. Some of you are thinking, where's that in the Bible? We need to meditate on salvation. Folks, I don't know about you. I try on a regular basis to think back to the day I got born into the family of God. That day when a resurrection took place, where I moved from death unto life, where I was on my way to hell, and then, boy, before I left that night, I was on my way to heaven. See, I try to meditate on that. My goodness, folks, we get our minds so sidetracked on everything else. Think about going back, meditate on just salvation for a little while. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Say, how do we know it's a miracle? Well, explain it. How an old boy or lady, how that they can go from anti-God to for God. How they can go to hating church to loving church. To hating people to loving people. Explain that. How they can go from looking like a derelict to honoring God. Can't explain it except God. God said, meditate on those things. So, it would do us good to just meditate on the miracle of salvation. How about just for a second, take your Bible, turn with me if you would to John chapter 1. How about not only meditate on the miracle of salvation, how about the masterpiece which is called creation? Oh, man. I enjoy Arlington, Texas, but I tell you, I love the woods and I love the mountains. Now, some of you are, you love the sea and you love the sand. I love the mountains and cool weather and overcast and foggy like it was this morning. So you're weird, I know. But it'll be all right. But if you just traveled around America and just looked, see what God did, I'm telling you, some breathtaking things. And you look at that and you think, oh, glory to God. And you say, people say, boy, 20 million years ago, you know what I want to say? Stop! Stop it! No, 20 million years ago, God did this. You know how He did it? He did it in just a very short time with a bunch of water. And it just all happened to boom, like that. Oh, that can't be right. Because look at the levels on the rocks here. Look at this rock. And now you know what they said? Listen, we've already carbon dated this rock 15 million years old. You know what I want to do? Wow. 15 million years old. Do you know if people believe that? They believe that. Hey, folks, listen. I got some news for you. You don't have to prove God. These knuckleheads that say they're not. Hey, all the proof is on them, not on me. Say, what proof do you have there's God? Look around. Huh? Just look around. You mean to tell me that man had anything to do with creation? You're out of your mind. There wasn't no Big Bang. Last time I heard of Big Bangs when I popped firecrackers on July the 4th. It's the only Big Bang they know about. John chapter 1, are you there? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Oh boy, you know what we need to do? We need to meditate on that a minute. Boy, I'm telling you, you just need to take something like that and just put it in your mouth and just chew it. Like an old cow chewing their cud. And just think about it. Look what else he says. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. You see, we just need to meditate on the masterpiece of creation. You know, God created us an earth to enjoy that's suitable for every one of our needs. You say, oh, Brother Todd, aren't you concerned about global warming? Hey! I read the Bible. I don't read anything about global warming in the Bible. So, oh, we better go green. We better start going green. Come on, folks. When are we going to get back to meditating on creation? When are we going to get back to just thinking about, look what God did. Look what God made. Look at all the things that God has done for us. He created the earth so that we can enjoy it, and it's suitable for all of our needs. All of our needs. Folks, we're not running out of oil. We're not running out of gas. Hey, we're not running out of resources. God's provided everything. It's right here for us. So what's people's problem? They don't know the Bible. But you know, us married folk, God's given us a spouse to enjoy. Hey, The Bible says if a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. And you know what? I got one of them good things. And you know something? I thank God for her every day. You know what? I meditate. Because God gave me a wife. And I meditate on that, and I just thank God that He gave me one, because I needed one bad. I need somebody to tame this old spirit down and settle down and... I'll stop there. Let me move on. You know, God created people to love and so that we can enjoy fellowship with each other. You ever think about that? You ever just meditate on that? Hey, folks, we don't have to come to church. We get to come to church. And you know what? We get to fellowship among the creation of God. Look at us. We're hilarious. You know that? Everyone just look around. We're hilarious. Everybody's so different. But isn't it amazing how when we're one soul, one heart, one mind, how that God can take so many different people with so many different personalities and so many different temperaments and put them under the same roof and we can go forward for the glory of God? Hey, you know what? We just need to meditate on the miracle of salvation, the masterpiece of creation. How about the ministry of dedication? Think about this. You know what? God has one cause. You know what that cause is? That cause was to save mankind from their sins. Remember we talked about how God created man and He created man and woman for fellowship? Boy, that blew up. Wasn't God's fault, but it blew up. So you know what He did? He got right to work and began the plan of redemption. Why? To reunite fellowship. One cause. The cause to redeem man back to himself, to restore fellowship. Can I say, not only does He have one cause, He got one message. Say, what's that message God has for you? That God loves you. Here's the message. God loves you. Now listen, folks, you know what? If you don't get anything else tonight, you take that home and you meditate on that before you go to bed tonight. That God loves me. Now here's what you're going to think. No. God doesn't love me. Yes, God loves you. Oh, but He didn't. You ever hear people? But He doesn't know what I've done. Yeah, He does. He knows what you've done. Matter of fact, you know what, folks? All of us in this room, when Jesus Christ made His way to Golgotha, do you understand that He already knew all your sins? Because all of our sins were in the future. And yet He was still willing to go to the cross. He was still willing to endure the cross. He set His face to the cross. He understood. He knew what we were going to be. And yet He was still willing to die for you and I. One message: God loves you. He's got one motive. And that's to set an example that we should walk in His steps. One cause, one message, one motive. You know what that motive is? That motive is for you and I to get in line with the Scriptures and walk in His steps. All right, let me give you one other and we'll stop. All right? Turn, if you would, to Psalm chapter number 1. I knew we was going here, because I read that one 6 years ago. And folks, if you don't know it, I'm just going to enjoy being a Christian. And you say, why are you going to enjoy being a Christian? Because I was not one for 23 years. You see, I know what it's like to eat brambles and briars. And I know what it's like to live on the other side of the fence. And so I thought, you know what? I just thought I was enjoying life. I just thought that was fun. That wasn't fun. I was out of my mind. I got born again. I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy being a Christian. See, I can't control what everybody else does. I can't. But you know what? I can control what this old boy does. Sure can. He said, but. Now, you just, whatever. But I can control what I do. And I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to live for God. It's just the way it is. I just decided that's what I am. That's what I'm going to do. Hey, God's done me no wrong. He's done me nothing but good. Matter of fact, I think I read somewhere in the Bible, it's my reasonable service. You there at Psalm 1? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You say, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you know what he's basically saying, folks? He's just saying, just pull up there and park. That's what he's saying. Just keep your mind focused. Because he said, if you do, you know what you'll be? Like the tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth. Man, that's the third time we've read this. In three different passages, whatsoever he doeth will prosper. It's all connected to meditating, keeping our mind on the wonders of God and the works of God. And here's the last one, the ways of God. W-A-Y-S, not W-A-V-E-S. The ways. Did I say waves? Sounded like I said ways, but I meant ways. It's that northern accent. Sorry. We're to meditate on the ways of God. You know, if we'll understand how God operates, God's MO, we won't get near as upset when things happen. If we'll just meditate on how he operates. You see, the thing about it is, there's called a law of sowing and reaping. You know, I meditate on that quite a bit. And you know what meditating and having meditated on the law of sowing and reaping, it helps me make decisions, and it helps me think about things before I do stuff. Because the Lord's very plain. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, so I meditate on that quite a bit. You know what it is? It's called one of the ways of God. It's how he operates. We need to meditate on the ways of the Lord. We need to meditate on his law. We need to meditate on his commands. We need to meditate on it. Listen, he calls them all kinds of things. One of them is called precepts. Now, we don't have time, but you go look in Psalm chapter 119. You'll find that that when God makes in relation to precepts, many times they're in connection to moral conduct, such as lying, or what do you do when someone mistreats you or abuses you? What do you do when people try to pressure you to come back to the dark side? You can read all that in Psalm 119, verse 69, 78, 87, and 173. It all talks about the precepts. Meditating on the precepts of God. Then he moves on and talks about statutes. That's the ones that are kind of relating to the legislative side, kind of the lawful side, the commanding of things that are prohibited. Let me ask you this. Who established government? Did God say it was good? Yeah, because he established it. And you know what? He put it there for our good. See, government is right. Unfortunately, government gets corrupt because you get corrupt people running it. God established it. He established a penalty for abusing the law. Hey, folks, you don't worry. You say, where are you getting all that? Just meditating on it. That's all it is, just meditating on it. And then he says we're to meditate on his testimonies. One last scripture. Turn, if you would, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, real quick. I'm looking down here, Brother and Ms. Graff are getting antsy. They're thinking, man, he's taking up my party time. I got to hurry. the kids are sticking their tongues out. And I'm hurrying, Grass. Hurry. Here we go. One last verse here, okay? Psalm 119, verse 99. The psalmist says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. That testimony, that's an affirmation. That's something based on evidence that's affirmed. We don't have time to go read it, but you can go back and read Psalm 78. It's basically a history of the works of God in the lives of Israel. Now, folks, really all I've tried to do is one thing tonight, and that's this. To get you to train your mind to pull over and park on some things. One of those, the wonders of God. Is God good? Yes, He is. And by the way, He's good all the time. Yeah, all the time. And pull over and park not just on the wonders of God, but the works of God. Matter of fact, mamas and daddies, that's what we're supposed to be doing with our kids, teaching them about the wonderful works of God. And then thirdly, we're going to be meditating not just on the wonders of God, the works of God, but the ways of God. And we have them all in the Bible. There they are right there. See, you teenagers, help me, preacher. How am I going to meditate? Remember this? You know why I gave it to you? Meditate. Say, oh, I need help. I just don't know what I can do. There's just so many bad things on the radio. I just don't know what to listen to. The Bible. Put your earplugs in. Go night-night tonight. Listen to old Alexander Scorby read you the Bible. Say, where's old Alexander Scorby today? He ain't reading the Bible no more. He's with the Lord. He knows all about it now. Isn't it amazing? He probably got to heaven and people say, you know what? I listened to you. You read the Bible to me when I went to sleep the other night. And I went to heaven listening to Alexander Scorby read the Bible. I'm just saying, folks, there's all kinds of things to help you. You know what we got to do? Get with the program. We just got to get our mind focused back on what needs to be focused. Would you bow your heads? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Quick invitation. If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I've never been born into the family of God. If there's anyone here like that, would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Slip your hand up way up high. Anybody like that? All right, maybe you're here tonight and say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized, but I know it's the right thing to do. Anybody like that? Say, preacher, I've been saved, never been baptized. Slip your hand up. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Already been saved, never been baptized. All right, got one or two back here. God bless you. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. How many of you would say, Brother Todd, guilty, guilty, guilty? Hadn't been meditating on the things of God. I certainly hadn't been meditating on His Word or His wonders, His ways. That's me, guilty. Slip your hand up with me. I'm guilty. I'm raising my hand. I'm guilty. Haven't been meditating like I ought to meditate. Slip your hand up. Say, preacher, pray for me. Slip your hand way up high with mine. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right. God bless you. Now, Father, we got to get back to this. This is a neglected part of our Christian life. We've got to get our minds focused. We've got to get our minds, Lord, revolving around the right types of things. We got to pull our heart and our mind up and park on the ways of God and the wonders of God and the works of God. Lord, if we'd do that, we could come to church and the only thing that would come out of our mouth would be, oh, how God is good. How wonderful You are and what You've done in our life. Help us to get meditating on the right thing. Bless this invitation, I pray. And these that need to come get baptized, would You move in their heart that they might come and obey You tonight in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed,